Good morning. Am I on? Making a bit of noise. Thunder in the background. Higher? Okay. No. What do you want to do, sound people? Leave it there? Okay. I read the following recently by Jonathan Lamb, who's an author and Bible teacher. We are such insignificant creatures on a minor planet of a very average star in the outer suburbs of one of 100,000 million galaxies. So it is difficult to believe in a God that would care about us or even notice our existence. You might have heard these words before. These are well-known words of cosmologist Stephen Hawking. And they are typical of those who imagine God, should he exist, to be a remote and passive observer of our world. Jonathan Lamb says, the good news of the Christian faith, in contrast, is expressed in one word, in Matthew 1:23. And that word is Emmanuel. God is with us. Today we're finishing off the series that we've done over Christmas time called Sinners to Saints, and we consider Jesus the hope of the world. So we're going to read this morning from Luke chapter 2, 21 to 33, from the Passion Translation. And I think it should be up there. We'll read it. On the day of the baby's circumcision ceremony, 8 days after his birth, his parents gave him the name Jesus. Should I use another microphone or should I continue? Is that annoying? Okay. Give me another microphone. Okay, nope. Now I know why I don't preach much, having to put up with microphones, eh? Okay, let's read this, the Passion Translation of Luke chapter 2, 21 to 33. On the day of the baby's circumcision ceremony, 8 days after his birth, his parents gave him the name Jesus, the name prophesied by the angel before he was born. After Mary's days of purification had ended, it was time for her to come to the temple with a sacrifice, according to the law of Moses, after the birth of a son. So Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to be dedicated before the Lord. For it is required in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be set apart one for God, and to offer a prescribed sacrifice, either a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. As they came to the temple to fulfill this requirement, an elderly man was there waiting, a resident of Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was a good man, a lover of God who kept himself pure, and the spirit of holiness rested upon him. Simeon believed in the imminent appearing of the one called the Refreshing of Israel, for the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death before he saw the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. For this reason, the Holy Spirit had moved him to be in the temple court at the very moment Jesus' parents entered to fulfill the requirement of the sacrifice. Simeon cradled the baby in his arms, and he praised God, and he prophesied, saying, Lord and Master, I am your loving servant, and now I can die content. For your promise to me has been fulfilled. With my own eyes I have seen your word, the Saviour you sent into the world. He will be glory for your people Israel and the revelation light for all people everywhere. Mary and Joseph stood there, awestruck over what was being said about their baby. Or as the NIV puts it, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Well, I think it's pretty safe to say that most parents are awestruck to some degree at the birth of their children. We marvel at the miracle of birth and at this small, vulnerable human being that has just arrived into the world, recognizing that because of the birth of this child, our lives will never, ever, ever be the same again. In that sense, Mary and Joseph were no different. But on the other hand, everything was very different about the birth of Jesus. There is no doubt about it. This birth that occurred over 2,000 years ago and divided history into BC and AD was the most significant event since creation. Not that these parents understood this at the time. They didn't quite understand the full significance of this birth. But they were people of faith, and bit by bit, the understanding would follow. In fact, in answer to the question asked in the song, Mary, Did You Know? The answer is no, she didn't know. She understood some things, as revealed by her angelic visitors, but she didn't know that her baby boy would one day walk on water. She didn't know that her baby boy would give sight to a blind man, or that her baby boy would calm the storm with his hand. And Mary did not understand that her baby boy was the Lord of all creation, and that he would one day rule the nations. And how could she have taken in that her baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb, and that the sleeping child she was holding was the great I Am? But considering the events that led up to Jesus' birth and the things that were spoken of him, Mary and Joseph were aware that this was no ordinary child. Indeed, he was a unique child. In fact, as the angel had told her, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. I want you just to imagine Mary and Joseph's lives so far. What started out as a normal proceedings to arrange a marriage between Joseph and Mary suddenly was interrupted by the visit of an angel, first to Mary and then to Joseph, who needed a little reassuring at this stage. Then imagine the shock of what they were told by the angel. He said, "Do not be afraid. Mary will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This actually being a fulfillment of a prophecy made through the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before the event, when he said, "The virgin will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And then there was that visit of the shepherds at the place of his birth in Bethlehem, telling their story of the visit to them of a great company of angels and one who proclaimed, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And Luke writes, "All who heard the shepherd's story were amazed, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." And then, as we just read, 40 days after the birth of Jesus, after Mary's days of purification had ended, it was time for her to come to the temple with a sacrifice according to the law of Moses after the birth of a son. And so Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to be dedicated before the Lord. And this is where they met Simeon, a man described as righteous and devout, a Jewish man who was waiting patiently and expectantly for the coming of the Messiah, God's chosen one, as prophesied in the writings of the prophets of long ago. And when Simeon sees Mary and Joseph with Jesus, it says that he knew that that time had arrived, and he prays, "Lord and Master, I am your loving servant, and now I can die content. For your promise to me has been fulfilled. With my own eyes I have seen your word, the Saviour you sent into the world. He will be glory for your people Israel and the revelation light for all people everywhere. This was certainly no ordinary child. And it says that Mary and Joseph stood there, awestruck over what was being said about their baby. I wonder, are you aware that every day of the year, people all around the world are being awestruck as they discover just who Jesus is and what he has done? In our day, those who confess to be Christians number approximately 2.5 billion people. That's about one third of the world's population. People from Africa, people from Europe, people from the Americas, from the Middle East, from Asia, from the Pacific nations, from Australia. When Jesus came to the world as Saviour, it was for all peoples, who over 2,000 years later are still discovering that he was no ordinary child, but rather he is Emmanuel, God with us. And as a result, their lives are being changed. John, speaking of Jesus, puts it like this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Or as the message puts it, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And things have never been the same since. 2019 is almost over. On Wednesday, it's New Year's Day, the first day of 2020. The end of a year and the beginning of another is always a good time to stop and to reflect. Recently, we celebrated our eldest granddaughter's 19th birthday, and I thought to myself of the significance of my own life of my 19th birthday. It was only 5 days before the event that turned my life upside down, when I was awestruck by who Jesus was and what he had done for me on the cross. My life changed forever. And on February the 8th, 2020, I will celebrate 50 years of saying yes to Jesus. And I can assure you that this was the best decision of my life, the decision that determined my life from then on into eternity. Yes, now is a good time to look back on our lives and reflect, and in particular to check if we really are one of those people who continue to be awestruck by the person of Jesus Christ, the one who is the hope of the world. Or maybe we've been so caught up in life that he has taken second place behind your career or your family or your possessions or your own ambitions and dreams or even your ministry. If that's the case, then ask God to enable you again to marvel at the wonder of who Jesus is and what he has done, and make 2020 the best year of your life. Or it may be possible that you've never really considered Jesus. Maybe you've always had the attitude, like Stephen Hawking, that God was remote and didn't really care if he exists at all. Or maybe he has just been a name to you, someone other people talk about, but you have no real relationship with him. Make 2020 the year when your life will be transformed by him. And you can then join the multitudes around the world who are awestruck by the wonder of his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness. If you do this, like me and many others, your life will be transformed. But you know, if we look at this story in Luke chapter 2, you'll realize that Simeon hadn't finished talking. He had a little bit more to say. This was no ordinary child. In fact, this child would grow to be a man who would give his life for you and me. He would die on a cross to make it possible for us to be saved from the consequences of our sin and rebellion against God. He would die and rise again to open the way for us to be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. So Luke writes these words, "Simeon then blessed them and prophesied over Mary, saying, 'A painful sword will one day pierce your inner being, for your child will be rejected by many in Israel, and the destiny of your child is this: he will be laid down as a miracle sign for the downfall and the resurrection of many in Israel. Many will oppose this sign, but it will expose to all the innermost thoughts of their hearts before God.'" Simeon understood, as the Holy Spirit had revealed to him, that Jesus was born to suffer and to die for the salvation of all people, including you and me. He also knew that not all would believe this truth. For some, it would mean resurrection and new life. For those who would reject him, it would be their downfall. But to everyone, including you and me today, our response to him would reveal the innermost thoughts of our heart before God. So the question is, what are your innermost thoughts concerning Jesus that only you and God are aware of today? Jesus, my friends, is the hope of the world. Have you discovered that in your own life yet? You know, this fellowship here, Comer Baptist Church, is a living testimony to the awesome power of the good news of Jesus Christ to transform lives, whatever your background. In our congregation, we have people from different cultures, different religions, different language groups, different family upbringings. And yet here we are, meeting together in unity to all worship Jesus, the Savior. Our desire at Comer Baptist Church is to inspire you to say yes to this Jesus and then to follow him closely, being daily awestruck by who he is and all that he has done for us. Paul in Romans 1 writes, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." I trust that this has been your experience. If not, come and talk to one of us and discover the power of Jesus to transform your life. So let's look back at 2019 with praise and thankfulness for God's presence with us, for his goodness and faithfulness in our lives, even or maybe particularly during the tough times, and then look forward to 2020 with hope, not based on anything that this world has to offer, but on who Jesus is and what he wants to do in transforming our lives into the person that God desires us to be. From my experience of almost 50 years, I can assure you that if you do that, you won't be disappointed. As we've been reminded many times this year, Jesus says to you and me today, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." But let me finish with these words. They're words from God speaking to his people in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And he says this, next slide. "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life." so that you may and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for just the reminder every year of Christmas, of what the wonder of the fact that you loved us so much that you gave your only Son. You sent him into the world to be born as a child in that manger, to live, to heal, to preach, to bless, and to die, and to rise again from the dead. And you did all that because you loved us. You saw us in our brokenness, in our lostness, in our hopelessness, and you sent Jesus. And we're forever grateful for you. Help us to be people who constantly marvel at the wonder of who you are, that never lose the wonder of your mercy, of your grace, of your goodness, of your kindness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.